And thank you, Sekka, for introducing that to us. You know, we have this new songbook, and the whole idea is let's learn some of these songs. Amen. And some of the songs are, of course, we've heard them. We hear people sing them, groups and solos and that, and then cantatas and different times. And then they, you know, that's how our hymn book, all the hymns became eventually hymns, is somebody had to sing it the first time, right? And those familiar songs that we know. Can you imagine the first time somebody sang Joy to the World? The first time somebody sang Silent Night? And, you know, to us, that's just, we've got those. We hear those all the time. But there was a first time. So praise the Lord for that. And very, very good. All right, well, we're in the book of Ephesians, lesson number 5. Again, the theme of Ephesians, blessed with all blessings. And Ephesians 1:3 being our theme verse for the book of Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then our lesson verse is Ephesians 1:17 for lesson 5. And our passage, Ephesians 1:15-23. I do keep the review on there, just kind of keep track of kind of where we're headed. We've talked about the description, and that is talking about the description of the book of Ephesians, and verses 1-3 of chapter 1, revealing our blessings. Then Roman numeral 2, the section we are on right now, is the doctrine, realizing our blessings. And again, kind of keying on the idea that doctrine doesn't have to be something we're afraid of. Doctrine is something that can be wonderful to us because it is the Word of God, the teaching from the Word of God that helps us to realize all that God has done for us, all that happened in our salvation, all that is happening and all that will happen. Doctrine is a blessing. In capital A, we talked about our possessions in Christ, from the Father, from the Son, from the Spirit. And then capital B, our potential in Christ, and that's where we are now, again covering Ephesians 1:15-23. And now that that's clear as mud, let's go ahead and let's say our theme verse together, Ephesians 1:17, and begin. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1:17. And again, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1:17. And again, Father, we rejoice over the birth of Jesus. We are always excited this time of year and certainly excited all through the year, just realizing that God, you came and you became sin for us on a cross so that we could be saved and so that we could be new creatures. And we see all of that and so much of that in the book of Ephesians as we study these doctrines. And Lord, as we think of the blessings that you've blessed us with, it is a time of rejoicing. And so help us now to, as we look at our potential in Christ, I pray that we will, our eyes will be opened, as it talks about, our eyes will be enlightened, that we might really see what we can do and what we can be for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, capital B, we kind of dealt with a little bit of an introduction there, our potential in Christ, talked about our eyes being opened and being enlightened in that, and the illumination. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us that the lost person cannot see. We should not be shocked when unsaved people don't understand what we're talking about. In fact, we can't be shocked. It's foolish for us to think that an unsaved person can understand that which the Holy Spirit has enlightened us or illumined us to understand. We get excited about Christmas because Jesus was born. They think, you know, unsaved people don't understand that. Now some, because the way most of us grew up, the nation talked about Jesus' birth. Again, not forcing people to believe that way, but it was just common. That's what Christmas was about. And I realize Santa Claus and all that has always been, you know, it's always been something that has been in the background, but it was always in the background. And well, now we have maybe a couple of generations anyway that just, you know, they're kind of X-ing out Jesus, and so they don't understand. They think you people are crazy. You know, Christmas is all, but when you ask them, seriously, what is it really all about? They just kind of look at you. Well, we get a day off. You know, we get some days out of work, or we get days out of school, or we get presents, well, really, is that what it's all about? You know, well, football. Yeah, oh, big deal, right? So, anyway, we need to understand that God has, he does, not because we're great, not because we're wonderful, but because he's our God and his Holy Spirit enlightens us so that we can understand the Word of God. We can understand these things. When we start talking about heaven, we start talking about, you know, anytime I'm talking to unsaved people about mom and dad are in heaven, they just look at me like, They don't, you know, to them, that's not what they really are hoping for. It's not what they think. They just, oh, that's a nice thing. No, mom and dad are in heaven. Grandma and grandpa, they're in heaven. My sister graduated from, got her master's degree in Indiana, there in Marion, our hometown. So we went back there, and I drove past some of the old homestead, different places we lived in that, and just thought about my family and thought, you know, grandma and grandpa, dad and mom, they're in heaven. They're going to celebrate Christmas in heaven. And boy, what a blessing. But the unsaved, they don't have that. They don't have that. I've said it so many times. I don't even know how they can ever, an unsaved person, can go to a funeral. I just don't see it. But anyway, so our potential in Christ, because he illumines us, he enlightens us, the Holy Spirit shows us things. We have several things that are true. Verse 15, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith." So our first thing, we talked about this last week, is we can believe. We can believe. Isn't it wonderful to believe? Isn't it wonderful to have faith? Isn't it wonderful to have a faith that is more than faith, really? It is, I know. Okay, I know I have eternal life. Well, no, you believe. Well, I do believe. I do. I do believe I have eternal life, but I know I have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He said, I've written them to you that believe, but I wrote them so that you can know. And again, that's not just because we read it in the Scriptures, it's because the Holy Spirit then reveals it. He shows us. He puts it in our hearts. It goes from my mind of seeing the words into my heart of, I know this is true. I know there's a heaven. I know there's mansions. I know all these things. Now, I don't know there's a chocolate lake. I really don't know that. I think that's a great idea, but I don't know that. But if I think that's a great idea, how much more is it really going to be in heaven? You know, whatever we think is great about heaven and the nice things and all that that we don't really know, but we think, oh, it'll be so far beyond anything we could ever imagine. So anyway, we can believe. And that is a great thing. We can believe. We can believe. And then the second thing here, number two, our potential is we can love. We can really love. And again, that is, you know, we use that word in such a shallow way nowadays. God's love is a giving of self. Self. There is no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. And again, I've submitted to you so many times in messages, that doesn't mean just dying for. We always think of that as the ultimate, but in reality, to me, the ultimate is living for. To live for somebody, that is the ultimate thing. You know, if I die for my wife, if I stepped in front of a bullet, you know, if I took the bullet for her and I died, well, then I go to heaven. And then she's left behind to go through all the funeral and all the, you know, spending the life in. But you know, whatever trials and everything, I'm not even here. I'm in heaven. Amen. So that's that is one thing. But for me, day after day after day, to say, honey, what's best for you? What would you like? And dying to my own self for her, that is the greatest love. And that's what love really is. It's giving ourselves. We can do that. It is interesting here how it says in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love. It's interesting how those two go together, how they work together. How I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. And as I have faith and I believe the things that God has given me, it strengthens my ability then to love. I don't have to love with my puny human love. I can love with God's love. And that is the way to love, folks. You're not going to be able to love people the best way with your own love. We need to tap into the love of God. And look at 1 John 3, verse 23. 1 John 3, 23. And again, the comparison here, the two go together, and we really, really can love. 1 John 3, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Notice that, believe and love one another as he gave us commandment. And so the two working together, faith in the Lord Jesus and then loving the brethren. Why, you know, loving people and loving each other, people that we're close to, people that we work with, people, you know, day to day that we deal with, it takes the love of Christ. Not that we're all bad people, but we are all bad. We're all sinners. And to love each other, to put somebody else ahead of us, that we need the love of Jesus Christ. And so, and again, faith in Jesus, love the brethren, the two go together. A couple of passages, one passage, 1 John 4, just look at that real quick. And it talks about loving one another. We can love, but we are to love. It is part of Christianity. We are to love each other. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And so again, it is of God for us to love. It is of God for us to love one another. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Again, the best kind of love, best love a man can have for his wife is letting God into his heart, into his life, walking with God and loving his wife with God's love. Loving your children with God's love. Loving your grandkids with God's love. Loving unlovely with God's love. And again, he loved us. He loved those that spat on him and whipped him and beat him and nailed him to a cross. And again, that kind of love, we're not able to work that kind of love up. That is God's love. And verse 10, here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And again, this whole idea, how can we love God but not love one another when we see one another and we've never seen God? Well, I love God by faith. Well, love other people by faith too. Then trust God, believe God. And, they took my parking place. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. He is a liar. Again, you cannot, the two do not go together. You're not going to hate other Christians and love God. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you don't love God. And the two do not go together. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And the two go together. We can, though. We really can. And that is one of the blessings. Again, as we realize our blessings, that is one of the great blessings, is knowing, you know, I can believe these things, but I also can love. I can love people. I can love God's people. I can, no matter what happens, I can love God's people. And it is a wonderful thing, and it is a blessing. It is one of the blessings, I think, of being a Christian, is loving God's people. You know, when you, many of you grew up in church, many did not. Myself, I never really got involved until I was 17 years old when I got saved. And as a Christian, was involved in church, and it amazed me. The difference of loving people, the difference. It's not a club, it's not a, you know, it is an organization like no other. And I think the reason of that is because we, number one, we believe, and number two, because we love one another. And that's the way it should be. We're not trying to impress each other. We're not trying to, you know, one-up somebody else. We're just trying to love one another. There should be no cliques. I remember when I first became the pastor here, and I met Naaman and Sheila, and they said their last name was Click, and I said, "So you're the church Click, huh?" And you know, but that's a different spelling of Click. There should be no. We love each other, and everybody ought to be able to shake hands with everybody. It doesn't mean you like everybody necessarily. There are people you'd rather be around. That's always going to be. You'd probably rather be around your family, right? Some would, you know, then that's fine. That's okay. I don't know that I would say that. I think you're my family. But I don't say that in a pious way. I just, you know, sometimes our family. But anyway, that's another story. And I do not want to get in trouble at Christmas. So, anyway, so again, the whole idea is we can do those things. So we come to the back page here in the last part of this, number three, and that is, not only can we believe, not only can we love, but we can know. The word to know is one of Paul's favorite words, and the Greek word is gnosko. And one of the first things I learned as a preacher boy down at college was the word gnosko. I took 4 years of Greek, and have forgotten a lot of it, but I remember as we studied the Apostle Paul, especially that word, you know, it just came up so often. He just said, "You can know, you can know, you can know, you can know." Truth of the matter is, I like to know. There's things I like to know. You know, my wife sometimes says, "You're nosy," and as long as the nosy is not nosy and it's knowsy. S-Y, which isn't really a word, but I do like to know. I like to know what's going on. I like to know what is happening and everything. And to be quite honest with you, one of the reasons I think, you know, initially God called me to preach was because he knew it was in my heart. I really did want to know, what's this all about? What is this all about? You've heard the story of I was a basketball coach at a Christian school. I was only 19 years old and a new Christian, and they just, you know, they were obviously desperate. And I'm in the back seat of a bus, and the boys are all back there. And one of the boys who ended up becoming he's an assistant pastor now, he says, "Why don't we have devotions?" And I thought, well, get out of box. You know, I had no idea what devotions were. And he was such a, he was a good Christian boy. And he just said, "Well, you know, you open the Bible up and read it, and then have a word of prayer." I thought, oh, that shouldn't be any problem. I did. You hear the story. Well, I did it. I just closed my eyes and found a verse. And I looked at that verse and had no idea. And so I closed it again and found another verse. And I looked at the verse, and I had no idea. And all of a sudden it hit me. These boys are all looking at me to teach them something, to show them something, to show them a verse and explain a verse or a passage to them. And I did not. And there was a hunger to know. And I just simply said, "Guys," I said, "why don't we just pray?" Because I knew I could do that. And it was there that God called me to preach. But it was inside was that hunger to know. I wanted to know. You know, it is such a blessing that we can know. Isn't it great we can know? God has given us His Word, and He's given us all of His Word so we can know. we can know. He's given us His Word. He's given us the Illuminator, the one who reveals and enlightens us with that same Word, the Holy Spirit, so we can know. We can know. And He says here, verse 16, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." First thing we can know God. We can know God. That's an amazing thing, that we, human beings, can know our God. You know, so many religions, it's just religious. It's just, we go through these rituals and blah, 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 and do this and do this, and light the candles at this time, and do this at this time, and say amen at this time, and do the Gloria Patri at that time. And then, and you know, Baptists can get in that kind of stuff too. We really can, where we just kind of go through all the motion. You know, has it ever occurred to you that you can actually just know God? You don't have to come to church to speak to God. You can talk to God at home. You can talk to God outdoor. You know, some people say, well, I had to get out to nature and talk to God. Well, you can go out to nature and talk to God, but you can talk to God in your living room. You can talk to God. I talk to God everywhere. I talk to God in the bathroom. Yeah, I mean, you can talk to God anywhere. Oh, you say that's sacrilege. Not if you know God. If you know God, you understand. You can talk to God anywhere, anytime, any place. 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter. You can talk to God anytime. He's always up. He never has a busy signal. You can know God. You can know God. And how can we know God? Well, we can know God personally through salvation. Notice John 17, verse 3. Go back there, John 17 and verse 3. John 17, 3. The Bible says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We can know the only true God personally. Isn't that wonderful? Now, that's only available through salvation. Lost people cannot know Him. But I can, because I'm saved. It's not because of me, not because of anything I did, other than I did what He said I had to do, and that is trust Christ as Savior and be saved. I can know God personally. It is not from a far, far distance knowing God. It is a personal, He knows my name, I know His name, and I know Him, and I can talk to Him anytime. And he is my God. And so we can know God personally. We can know God progressively. This is a wonderful truth. Philippians 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, a couple pages over in verse 10. We can know Him personally. We can know Him progressively. Philippians 3, 10. "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." And so here is a progressively getting to know Him, sanctification being set apart more and more and more. And notice the fellowship of His sufferings. You know, we don't necessarily like that, but yet no better way to know somebody than to be involved in the fellowship of His sufferings. You know, He was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin. We should be certainly expecting temptation. He suffered greatly. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. You know, a lot of Christians avoid all that. And to me, again, I don't go looking for it. I'm not looking for a fight. When I was first saved, I was kind of looking for a fight, which was very carnal, right? Amen? It's carnal. But I was carnal. I needed to grow up in the Lord. And anymore, I'm not looking for a fight. But I have found that the closer I get to Him, the more the fight comes to me. And I'm not going to run from the fight. Now, we have so many churches today are running from the fight. They cancel soul winning. They quit talking about, they quit having an altar call, quit having bus ministries and preaching hard, and you know, everything's whitewashed and watered down and take no stand at all, and because they want everybody to like them. Well, you know, that's all. But to really know Jesus is to understand His suffering. to really know him progressively and grow closer and closer to him is to fellowship in his sufferings. Again, I'm not saying please nail my hand to a cross. I don't want my hand. I don't want to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. I want everybody to love me. Honestly, the older I get, the more I want that. But the truth of the matter is, if my walk with God and my relationship with him puts a great big target on me, then go ahead and shoot, because I want to know him better. And with that will be suffering. There will be some of that. And of course, oh, we still have lots of time. Then there's not only knowing him personally and progressively, but how about this? Knowing him perfectly. Perfectly. Colossians 3 and verse 4. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, I ought to preach on that sometime. Isn't that good? Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And one day we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and we will know him perfectly. And everything should be getting to that place. It should be moving in that direction in our lives as Christians. More and more and more and more and closer and closer and closer and closer to that day. Again, you're not going to reach that on this side. You and I are not going to be perfect on this side, but we should be becoming more and more perfect every day of our Christian life, and that we can know him perfectly. That's hard to imagine. I mean, right now, when I come to him, in shame pretty much all the time. I don't know anybody that could ever come before the throne of grace with pride. I don't know. We can come with boldness, the Bible says, and confidence because of the blood of Jesus, but it's always, pretty much when I go to the Lord, it always starts off with, I'm not even worthy to do this. But see, one day we'll know him perfectly. We'll have that glorified body. There will be no sin. There will be no guilt. There will be no thoughts, wickedness. There will be none of that. Praise the Lord. That'll be a wonderful thing. So they may know God. Let's go ahead and have the ushers come if they would, and we'll receive our offering. I'm just going to keep going. And then verse 18, and we already kind of touched on this a little bit in our introduction. We might know God's calling. We might know God's calling. So we might know God, and then we might know God's calling. You can know that. We can know God's calling. That's an exciting thing. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, there's a lot in that verse, but the knowing the hope of his calling is such an exciting thing to me. And I'm talking about, we're older and that's for teenagers. No, God has a will for you tomorrow. He had a will for you today. Right now, you're doing the will of God. You're sitting in the place that he was his will for you to sit. You're sitting in your Sunday school class. Lord willing, you will be sitting in the service for the Sunday morning service. Tonight, we'll have the cantata, and we'll have a whole group of folks there sitting in their place. We'll have one folk sitting over there at the piano in her place. We'll have other folk sitting here on the platform in their place, and then we'll have other folk sitting in their place. And we'll have nursery workers. And you see what I'm saying? Everybody has their place, the will of God for their lives, and that will cover the day. But it doesn't end there. You know, we always get this idea, I'm doing this for God. Well, you ought to be doing something for God every day. Stay with me now, seriously. You know, could it be the will of God that you eat breakfast? Why not? Isn't that the will of God? Is it the will of God you read your Bible in the morning or whenever you read your Bible? I read my Bible early in the morning. Who else reads their Bible early in the morning? Okay. Who reads your Bible in the middle of the day? Okay, some have raised their hand there. Who reads your Bible at night? Yep, several people. You know, I talked to a guy, he said, oh, I can't read my Bible in the morning. I thought, what do you mean you can't read your Bible in the morning? That's the only time. He said, no, he said, I read my Bible from 10 o'clock, anywhere from 10 o'clock until midnight. Of course, I've got my horsey pajamas on by then. Amen. I mean, there is no reading anything. You know, I might be able to read a little bit, but oh my, at night, it's like, what do we do at night? Sleep, right? But the truth of the matter is, whenever it is that you read your Bible, make sure that's the will of God. That is His calling for you at that time in your prayer time. And, you know, some people, again, that's, you know, I like to have, of course, I pray different times. Some of my best time is, unfortunately, 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And, but morning and evening and at noon while I pray, the psalmist said. So that can be any time. But again, what is the will of God? What is it we should be able to say, this is what God wants me to do. This is His calling for me today. The next day, this week, this month, this is His calling. My wife and I, at the end of the month, we will be going very far south again to a place that is warm for my wife to be able to recover. Of course, if the weather stays like this, she won't have a whole lot of recovering to do, maybe. Amen. That'd be something. But you say, well, preacher, you know, why are you doing that? That is God's will. We believe that. We pray. We ask God, give us a deal here. Open a door here. Could we do this here? And God, You make it all happen because we believe this is Your will. That's how we ought to live every day. That's how you ought to shop. That's how you ought to go to the restaurant. That's how you ought to do things with other people. Is God, I want to do what You, because we can know. That's the point. It's not like we have to guess every day. He says that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. What is it He wants with my life? If He would send His Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, to give us eternal life, then certainly He would have a plan, wouldn't He? Why wouldn't He have a plan for every day? Sure He would. Sure He would. And what a blessing to be able to know these things, to not wonder, to not guess, to not, I'll just strike out and hope everything works out. So many Christians live like that. And how sad. How about starting the day? And again, you don't have to spend a whole lot of time. Just start the day. Lord, guide me today. Give me wisdom today and help me to go everywhere I'm supposed to go. Let's all recognize there are forks in the road every day. Right? I mean, there's always forks. Sometimes I have multi-forked forks, right? And it's like, oh, what am I supposed to do? But I have asked God already early, God, lead me where I'm supposed to go, because sometimes things move fast, right? And you take that turn and you better be right. Amen. I mentioned my sister getting her master's degree, and it was there in Marion, Indiana, and there was a ton of people. I was amazed for a winter graduation how many people there were, but we were all going through this narrow kind of a hallway and headed out, and somebody said something. Yeah, we feel like cattle, you know, like a cattle chute. And I said, and the funny thing about that is we're all so jammed and we're all moving forward and everything. What if at the end of that there was a cliff? We'd all just fall off, right? Yeah. You know, isn't it wonderful that we can trust the One who leads us? No matter, you know, if you just, because you can know what His calling is for you.